Hello.
Hi.
Would you please start by telling me your name, the date, the time, and your location?
Sure. So my name is Brianna Tong. I am, let's see, it's 11:10 a.m. It's March 18th, 2021, and I'm in Chicago, Illinois.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under a Creative Commons license? Attribution, non-commercial, share alike.
Yes.
Would you please start by introducing yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening to this? What might you want them to know about you and the position that you're speaking from?
Sure. I am sitting in my bed right now, as I've done for a lot of this quarantine. I am, so I'm in Irregular Signs, and I guess till now I'm in three bands. And I also work at the library, like the public library. So I've been working there in person since I guess we came back to work in May. And I was contacted about this interview through my band, Bussy Queen Power Trip, which is a Black queer punk band with three people, no guitars. So my close friends, and then I'm in two other bands. One is called Giraffe and one is called Cordoba, and one person each from Bussy Queen is in each of those bands. Haven't played a show in forever. And let's see, what else have I been doing in quarantine? I guess I can give a little about what I look like or am like. I'm a woman. I'm 26, almost 27, I guess. I'm Black and Asian. I'm kind of short. And yeah, during this pandemic, I've been yeah, in general, super lucky to have a job still and a great living situation. And I met my partner right before the pandemic, so we've been chilling a lot, and that's been amazing. She is so great. And yeah, just going to work and working on all types of things in my home, and sometimes having the energy to do a bunch of music and crafts and other art things, and sometimes lying in bed for a full day. That's pretty much it.
Would you tell me what the word pandemic means to you?
Yeah, it's I guess at this point I use it to describe, I guess, the past year we've been having. It used to, I guess I used to just say quarantine, and then we weren't really quarantining for real anymore. But yeah, just I guess this wild time where COVID is some like pretty uncontrolled, that we have been living through for the first time in most of our lifetimes this year.
I'm curious, in the extent to which you're comfortable sharing, what have been some of your relationships with health and healthcare infrastructure prior to the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, I was lucky to grow up with healthcare and like good healthcare in general. I think I was definitely by the time I like went to go to the doctor on my own, like as a more grown person, I like quickly started to realize that they just will charge you for like any little thing. So I think stopped going to the doctor, or like didn't choose to go to the doctor for a lot of things. And now, I don't know, during this pandemic, I was also lucky enough to like stay on my parents' healthcare until I was 26. So I like just started buying my own healthcare during this pandemic, and that's been kind of a mess, like going through the marketplace. I didn't even use the healthcare for like up till very recently, because we were just inside, and I was like, I'm not trying to go to the doctor right now. And thankfully, I didn't have any major health problems. But then the last time I did go to the doctor, it was like a mess. The insurance was tweaking. But But yeah, I don't know. And I think I just, one of my, I don't know. I think I've just seen a lot during this pandemic with, I guess, people that I've known and people that I guess my loved ones are close to, how just, I think I've seen a lot of Black women receive just bad care in the medical system. And I think that's something that I think my mom tried to like warn me about, I guess, or like always told me, like, you need to advocate for yourself at the doctor. And that's something that I hear from a lot of my friends. But I think during this pandemic, I just really saw in some cases how that happened, and it like literally cost people their life. So that's been very frustrating to see and upsetting. But yeah, I don't know. I think I just, it's clear that our healthcare system is like a disaster, and like it never should have been run for profit, but I haven't even experienced the worst of that, I guess. So yeah.
Staying in the pre-pandemic time frame, what was your day-to-day looking like before March 2020?
So day-to-day, so I just actually I was working part-time for I guess maybe six-ish months before the pandemic. So I was going to work like every other day, and then I was playing a lot of shows. So usually if it was like a weekend, I would be maybe going to work and then getting off and like getting ready to go to the show and then being there all night and seeing all the homies. And if it was like, if I wasn't playing it, I was probably like going to someone else's show. And then on a weekday, I might have like have rehearsal. I like used to have this job that was like I worked like a lot, just like a lot of hours. And then like stopped that job and went to my current job. And my roommates were like, you are still barely at home. So I was truly out and about, mostly, yeah, being at shows, but also I guess occasionally doing stuff outside the house that wasn't shows. Going to friends' places, going to little events in the city, going to queer parties where I didn't even have anyone to avoid yet at the party. Just, you know, living life like we thought we could back then.
And what are some of the ways that you've had to adapt that day-to-day living?
Yeah, so I think just like not being able to see people the same way and play shows the same way is probably the biggest change. I guess, so I was also super lucky that my job like let us stay home for about probably the first 2 months of the pandemic and like paid us. So I was like very blessed. So that was like very different. And I think at the beginning of that, I had like a lot of energy and was like, wow, I'm going to do all the things I didn't have time for and learn new skills. And I started like doing like stick and poke tattoos. And I was like embroidering. I was truly exploring new things. And then we had to go back to work. And that I guess was like a whole adjustment too, because I didn't start my job that far before the pandemic. But it was still like a big adjustment. Like we couldn't do any programs. We had to like yell at people all the time. We still do about putting their mask on and like not let as many people in the building, and they can't use the resources we have the same way. So that's been an adjustment overall, just at work, and just even being like cautious of my coworkers, or like just having to stay away from people and constantly be thinking about, okay, like we could get COVID today, and like so many people at other branches have, so we're just constantly aware of that. But I guess otherwise, yeah, I've just had so much more time to sit in my home, which in some ways is nice, and in some ways I think it does make me be like, wow, I don't know if I can go back to the same schedule I had before. But in some ways, it's like sometimes I really will lie in bed for a full day and be like, am I tired? did I need this? Am I depressed? Am I just lazy? Like, I'm just, what is there to do though? I don't know. What else would I do instead of lying in my bed all of my day on my day off? So that's probably been the biggest changes. And yeah, just not seeing different people very much, unfortunately. Like, a bunch of people I used to see at shows all the time are just out and about. I just don't see anymore. I haven't seen for like a year. So that's been different to just only interact with, I guess, like a really small amount of people regularly.
I'd like to follow up and ask what, when you're working in the library and having to address clients around proper mask use, would you be willing to say a bit about what those interactions are like?
Yeah, it depends. Most people are willing to pull their mask up. So I think the problem with most people is either they came in with no mask, so we're like, could you put a mask on? And we have masks to like offer them. So those people are usually cool and they're like, oh, sorry, I forgot. Sometimes they're like a little aggressive and are like, I'm putting it on. I'm like, okay, I don't know why you walked into a public place that's inside with no mask, but okay. And then the other people are people who came in with it on and then took it off for some reason. And those people, it is a mixed bag. I think most people have been willing to just be like, oh, sorry, let me pull it up. A lot of people do not wear their mask over their nose. And that, I feel like I just have given up somewhat on that. So I'm like, if I already told you once and you still have it on, I don't know what I want to tell you. And then some people will get aggressive with us over the mask. In the beginning, we had someone who was like, he told us he had asthma and that's why he wouldn't pull his mask up over his nose. And we had to like ask him to leave. And he was like one of our regular patrons. I was just like, why are you fighting over this? Like, you were so close. I don't think we've had to there. So I'm not even there every day. So I think some stuff may happen on the days I'm not there. But I think most recently we had to ask someone to leave because it was super hot in the branch because we can't control our own heat. But she was really upset. She had to wear her mask even though it was really hot. And I was like, I understand. It is kind of hard to breathe, but we all have to be in here. And none of us are trying to catch this disease, so will you please? And she got like very aggressive and we had to ask her to leave. So it's a mix. You don't always know what you're gonna get. I think we've been lucky and mostly have people be responsive and just like be like okay and move on with it. But some people do get aggressive, or they're like, oh, I was about to, or just are aggressive for other reasons. But I think similarly to I don't know, we also would, before COVID, we had people come in and get aggressive with us for enforcing, I guess, library policies for whatever reason. So it wasn't super different, it was just like a different cause.
So you had mentioned that the shows have stopped but the library reopened. Could you talk a little bit about the different kind of value you think the shows and the libraries present and how you feel about different kinds of opening for different spaces?
Yeah, so I think one thing, so I was, when I first found out I had to go back to work, I think they told us probably about a week or 10 days in advance, so that was nice, we got some notice. And I was like upset at first, and I was like, okay, clearly I'm gonna have to go back to work so I can have a job, so let me deal with it. And when we opened, I mean, our branch is smaller, so we got kind of adequate equipment. They gave us enough shields between us and the public. They gave us they didn't really give us masks, but they gave us like disposable masks. There was like some face shields that I think another branch sent, so it wasn't like we didn't have enough supply. There was enough hand sanitizer and stuff. Other branches were not getting adequate supplies. So I already saw that as a problem. And I think we went back in on May 20th. And it was, I guess it was surprising to me at the time because we didn't open to the public until I think the first week of June. But still, I was like, this is not over. And libraries are so, they welcome everyone, which is great in normal times, but in a pandemic, is so, like, libraries are just germy. People are all touching the same things. So that was interesting. And I think I realized later that I think we're one of the only library systems in the country that's open to the public for them to, like, come in and stuff. And I understand why they did that, because I do see, like, libraries are providing a lot of resources people can't get other places. So we have computers, and people come in and use the computers and print and scan and make copies all the time. We have books that people might just need for fun, but also might need for school, or their kids or something. We have just a space that's inside for people to sit, even though they can only be there for an hour right now. We just, like, have a lot of things that people might not have somewhere else. So I do understand why they want, I guess, why the mayor wanted to open them. At the same time, I've been seeing that other library systems and other places have come up with some solutions to those things that didn't involve, like, sending patrons inside. And we have, so we all have capacity limits, but ours is like 12, which is fine, but, like, we don't reach it super often, but, in a bigger branch, it would be like more people. So I think it is kind of like, and then for a minute, like, there were so many cases at libraries, like, so many libraries, and they weren't closing a library every time someone had a case. They would ask them, they would kind of do contact tracing, but I don't think it was very good, because a lot of times, like, our break rooms aren't very big, and they just weren't closing branches where one person had a case. And I was like, I know all of y'all, like, been near this person, so y'all should just shut down. And they weren't doing that. And so there was, they haven't told us the numbers recently, but I'm sure there's been over, like, 80 or 90 cases throughout the system. And I think it's only like 1,000 people that work in the whole library. And they tried to tell us, oh, this is one of the city departments with the lowest percentage of cases, so y'all are good. It's like, what? But I do think, I mean, shows, I do think, provide a lot of value to people's lives, whether it's the musicians or the people coming. Or I suppose the venue owners, if there is a venue owner. But the, and I do, so we had, I don't know, I guess shows are usually inside to do this. I get that they're not providing, like, a vital resource someone might need. Like, they're not helping people file for unemployment. They're not helping people do their taxes. I guess I see a lot of value. So we've been doing a lot of library programs online, and a lot of those programs are kind of like, there's all types of programs. There's, like, community resources, and there's also, like, artistic stuff. And I think those have been really well attended. And I think that just shows, like, how much people still want to have, like, art and creativity in their lives in this time. And I also think, like, we did some outside shows over summer, which were, like, amazing and just felt so good to be able to, like, play safely and, like, play live music for people again. But
I think you may have cut out for a second. Yeah, I can't hear you. Oh, wait, there you are.
Am I back?
You're back. I didn't hear anything after you were discussing the library programming around arts that have been received pretty well.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Not your fault.
And I think we had some live shows over summer, which were, like, amazing and just, like, such a, just felt so good for me. And then also going to, like, see shows was super fun. But yeah, I think it was just interesting how I guess a lot of places opened too soon. Mm-hmm. And thankfully at our branch, like, we were very strict about the rules. And I guess careful and just lucky that we didn't have any cases at our branch. But it really did seem like, I understand libraries are providing a vital service. I feel lucky to still have a job, but I wish y'all would have like tried a little harder to make it safer to come back so all these people didn't have to go to work and be exposed to or catch COVID, and all these people don't have to come into the building and like also be exposed to or catch COVID. So especially when a lot of other cities across the country have clearly figured something else out.
I'd be interested in hearing what you remember about first hearing about COVID-19.
Oh my God, yes. This is not cute now, but I think when I first heard about it, I was in a, I don't know, I think I was just in a like joking mood about it because we didn't know how serious it was. And we were like, I remember being at a show and being like, someone lick my mouth. Let's which is just a hot mess. So that was, you know, it was so fun before we knew what it was gonna be like. And I guess just, yeah, like how deadly and contagious it was. Because yeah, I think when we first heard about it, we just didn't know anything for real. And it was, I don't know if murder hornets was like at the same time, but there was just like a bunch of like weird shit like going on in the world. And we were like, what a disaster. Like we've already lived through so much mess. Like, here's one more thing. Yeah.
And how did that reaction come to change over time?
Yeah. So I think that pretty quickly when we realized, or I guess, yeah, when I saw like people were just, it was very contagious and a lot of people were getting it. And then a lot of people were just dying. And it was like very painful to like even have it, let alone like have it very severely. That definitely turned into like fear and like, I guess sadness and also anger for just how it was being handled. I think it became clear really quickly that like they were not handling it very well. Like we could see that across the country. Obviously it was a strain at first that we didn't expect, but I think after, you know, a month or two, they're like, okay, like they're not giving anyone money. Unemployment is providing a lot of problems for people to get onto. Like our healthcare system was already terrible. So it's not like people still don't have insurance and are getting COVID. They just could be doing more. And obviously it was Trump in office at the time too. And like, he was not doing anything good about this disease. So yeah, so I think it pretty quickly changed to like, one, still being really afraid of it at first because we didn't even know how it spread that much. And I was just like, yeah, if I don't have to leave my house, I will go to the store like every 2 weeks for like one very quick trip. And that's kind of it. And just fear for people around me, like being exposed and just feeling for people who still have to go to work in the public. And yeah, just I think that quickly turned into like being upset at how it was being handled everywhere.
You had mentioned the murder hornets earlier. 2020 was a pretty full year, as 2021 is shaping up to be. I'm wondering what, in addition to and perhaps intersecting with COVID-19, what have been some of the biggest issues on your mind over the last year and some change?
Yeah. I mean, I think a huge part of 2020 was, I guess first, like all of the police murders and just like Black people who lost their lives because of white supremacy, which obviously happens all the time, but was like very, I think really blew me in the pandemic at how we were like, how are we supposed to all be inside and police are still out here shooting Black people? Like, how is this happening? And then I think I got, so I used my like job before I came to the library, I was a community organizer. And I was like extreme, like, I don't know, I guess I was just like constantly maybe involved with stuff. like just with organizing efforts, and then stepped back a little bit, but I think got a lot more into organizing and just going to a protest during 2020, and they looked so different from what I had seen before. I guess I think I was joining new types of organizations, but also seeing, I guess, a much more in my opinion radical and maybe more also anarchist led form of protest. And I guess both anarchist led and like community led, and just like related to what people needed in the moment. Like I think there was no other point in life where I saw, okay, police are like shooting us and we're actually gonna like fuck with the corporations that caught, like that are really buying this, like creating the system by fucking looting their shit. Like I'd never seen that before. So that was, yeah, that was just big. And that was something I thought about a lot during 2022. So I think that was kind of the biggest things for me. It was like, the just COVID, and then also both, how is it possible that even during COVID we are having like such just awful things still happen to Black people at the hands of like police and white supremacists out on the streets, but also like I'm seeing a type of protest and even a type of ask. I think this is, it's obviously been watered down since, but like people saying defund the police was, I think, something I was talking with some friends about. Like we used to say and seem so far-fetched when we said that, and now it's like a rallying cry around the country, and people are saying at least they'll defund their police departments in some way. So I think, yeah, seeing a lot of tragedy that was painful and just real upsetting to hear about and witness, but also seeing a type of protest I'd never seen before, kind of in response to all the things that were happening.
I'm curious, what does the word health mean to you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in some ways just like how well is your body and mind doing? Like, is it doing the things, are they doing the things you need them to do? I think in some ways health like really involves the community, like just the place you're in, the community you're in. Is that community healthy? Is that place healthy? I guess it has elements of like being supported in it, like whether that's supported by resources in your community, supported by people around you, supported by having access to the type of things you need to keep your body and mind healthy. Yeah, there's so much. I think there's like, I guess like as an able-bodied person, I don't want to be like health is like when your body like works perfectly all the time. But also I don't know, like I think there's a lot of connections between like health and disability. And I think, I don't know, like a lot of times people will be like, oh, fat people aren't healthy, and that's obviously just not true, and that's like something our society has made up. So I think there's a lot of ideas we have about health that aren't necessarily really about health. But yeah, I do think health probably feels like, are your body and mind getting what they need?
What are some of the changes that you think might bring us as a culture to that version of health, or help more people realize it?
Oh, there are so many. I mean, I think one is just having, so obviously healthcare just should be free and easily accessible for everyone. But then I think we do get to the problem of like, even if it's free and we still have the same doctors that are like very fat phobic, like racist, or like just playing out kind of racist notions in a racist system, like sexist, not super like queer affirming. Like, as long as we still have the same people in the whole healthcare system and the whole only difference is it's free, I don't think that's everything. So I think there's also like a huge need for one more places to get healthcare in communities that don't have that. And then also just like people giving you the healthcare who are just meeting your needs better, like a lot better. So I think that's one thing. But then I think there's so many other aspects to it, is like everyone get like being able to have healthy food they can like afford, and like everyone like being able to have jobs that don't put their lives in danger every day, or having the ability to take a sick day from work, or like having time to safely like have a pregnancy and have a baby and like bond with your baby after and like take care of the baby. So I think there's so many things, like not being, I think we've just seen how like stress, it can be both like mental, like can affect your mental and your physical health, like just taking away so many of the situations that are causing people so much stress, that they are developing like health issues, and then also taking away so many of the situations that are like literally giving people health issues, like pollution or like lack of healthcare, or violence, like any type of violence, just like so many different things that are unnecessarily harming people, that we just don't have to deal with. Like, I think there's some level of like things will always hurt us, like some just you'll trip and fall, but like there's just so many things in our society that are like really harming and killing people that we just don't have to have.
Following up, would you tell me what safety means to you?
I think that's another word I guess I thought about a lot in 2020, and I think also a word that I think has been, I don't know if it's been like claimed or like taken over, but I think a lot of our ideas of safety are policing and like police state, or like have to do with prisons and the prison industrial complex. But I think, yeah, like what I think safety to me, yeah, is related, I guess, to health, and like people having strong communities, people not feeling fear from their own communities, people not feeling fear from institutions in their own communities, people having the support they need, people feeling safe enough to that there, if there is a problem, they like are able to like resolve it in the way that they need. I guess a lack of fear, constant fear about things that people shouldn't have to be afraid about, and a feeling of real community and connection, I think, and a feeling of trust, I guess, too.
So safety's had a very specific narrative within a sort of dominant COVID discourse for a moment. And under that perhaps reductive idea, how have you been determining what's safe for you? And how have you been negotiating that with people around you?
That is true. I think my idea of safety during COVID has changed a lot over time. Like, I think after I went back to work, I think at some point I was like, well, if I have to be in here, I don't care that much about going in any store because it's the same thing, basically. When before, I think I'd be like, oh, I'm not going anywhere except like the grocery store or like the drugstore. And I think also we were just like, I think as we've evolved, like our understanding of COVID safety too, like we used to like really disinfect all our groceries. So we just are like, we don't, I don't think it's spreading like that much. I think we could just put the groceries in the fridge at this point. And even now with the vaccine, I was like lucky enough to get it, I guess, first through my neighborhood, and then my job started offering it about a week and a half ago. So I think that's kind of been changing, I guess, what I'm about to feel like is safe. But yeah, I think I both feel like I was talking to a lot of people who kept working from home the whole time or just kept being at home. I think I felt less afraid and more safe going out to do maybe things like going to the store or like going somewhere to pick up my takeout or I don't know, just doing stuff like that than I had before. But then I think also, like, I still don't feel safe like eating in a restaurant. I also think it's super whack that no one who works in restaurants can access the vaccine yet. Just very whack to me. But so I think that's, and it's jarring to see other people being like, oh, that's safe now. Like, is it? I don't think so. And then, yeah, it was also, I think during the protests, it was really interesting to negotiate, like, I guess we can be outside in large numbers if we at least all have a mask on and stay kind of far apart. And it seems more important right now to, like, I guess, take action for like longer term safety and just take as many COVID precautions as we can than to like stay inside and just like say that this shit is okay that is happening. So that was also interesting. But yeah, I think the more that I had to just be exposed at work be closer to people, do whatever in work, I was like, okay, I guess I can go in other places that are like my work and also just be in there safely because I'm clearly already at that risk level. So I'm not gonna not go to like the beauty supply or something.
How are you feeling these days about the immediate future?
I don't know. In some ways, I'm excited. I was like, I'm waiting to get my STEMI. I'm excited about that. I am really glad that, so at least in Chicago, I feel like the vaccine is getting more and more available. At this point, my whole household has had our first shot. All my coworkers have had their first shot. Yeah, like my partner and one of her roommates has their first shot. So that's like very hopeful for me. So at least like I think we just won't have to worry about like spreading and getting COVID that much in the near future, which is super exciting. I think it still feels a little unclear to me like what else will be possible. And I think over the last year it was like so hard to have long-term goals for anything that I don't think I'm really like out of that yet. I think it's really hard to think about like long-term goals. But I guess for my immediate future, I feel a little more hopeful than I did maybe like half a year ago. I think for the world, I mean, just yesterday we just saw another instance of like white supremacist violence basically, and like against women and like working class women too. And that's just, I don't know, that was just real depressing, obviously. And like, I think made me think about like worrying for my Asian family in a way that I hadn't really been thinking about this whole time. So I was just upsetting. So I think for the world, and like, obviously Joe Biden is like better than Trump, but he's not doing great. And he's not doing all the things he even promised he would do. We can barely get a $15 minimum, like we're not getting a $15 minimum wage, which at this point just doesn't even seem very high to me. So that's, I guess, looking a little more bleak to me.
I know you had talked about the sort of difficulty of seeing into the long-term future when it comes to goal making. I'm wondering if there are any sort of hopes about the long-term future, even if they're broader than kind of individual accomplishments?
Yeah. I mean, I really do hope that having lived through this pandemic and everything in 2020, that we will make some like drastic changes to our systems that we saw were not working. Like, I think the biggest of which were like people just receiving basically shit, nothing during the pandemic to help with living. And also the state of healthcare and the state of like policing. I hope that this time brings those changes. I think it's, at this point, I feel like I don't even know what it's going to take. I just feel like we've lived through so much bullshit and people have already suffered so much. And not enough has changed. So I'm like, I don't know what that's going to take. But I do hope for that. I do hope a lot more people are seeing there's like no possible way we can go back to what we used to have. And I guess, yeah, I don't know. I just, with the vaccine, I'm hoping that we can also play shows again. And I think the musician community is getting, like, a lot of people were really active last summer in the protests. And there's UMA Chicago, like the Union of Musicians and Allied Workers, just had these cool actions against Spotify, like paying artists like 0.003 cents a stream, and did this like nationwide set of actions, and that was really dope. So I think just like seeing musicians and music workers getting more active is like very hopeful to me. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I can only hope for some large changes to come.
You had mentioned that you've had your first shot of the vaccine. I just wanted to create a little space for you to say anything you wanted about that experience.
Yeah. I think I definitely wanted a journey from not trusting the vaccine to wanting the vaccine. When I got it, it was, I guess my only side effects, thankfully, were like a sore arm and like fatigue. So I didn't really feel sick or anything. It was like super painless, like literally getting the shot. And so they're doing this program in Chicago for basically neighborhoods that got hit really hard by COVID, which were probably mostly, if not all, like Black and Latinx neighborhoods, to get shots with like frontline essential workers and like people over 65. So that was really great. That they're doing that after a long time of, I don't know, I have a lot of beef with our mayor as well, but at least we did this. So I'm glad to get it. I encourage everyone to get it. One of my coworkers was like super skeptical and she just got hers yesterday. I'm like so excited. And it just seems like with the way COVID rates are going, it really does seem like the vaccine is stopping spread and like stopping people from like getting it so severely. So that's everyone, if you can, or when it's your time, go get your shot. I don't know who's gonna listen to this or when, but I don't know. It was great. I'm excited. I can't wait for my second one.
May I ask what some of the things you've been doing to take care of yourself over the last year have been?
Yeah. I have been cooking a lot more, and I think making, I don't know, I guess I realized that I enjoy kind of like making elaborate meals for no reason. So I feel like I've been eating really good food that I've been making. That's been nice. And just, yeah, I guess trying to make, I don't know if I'm trying to make healthy food, but I try to eat vegetables. So that's been good. What else have I been doing? I am also lucky enough to have been going to therapy, which is great. And I think has just been a big support during this year. And has also helped me, I don't know, I think just helped me be more able to support other people as well. I've been trying to stay connected with people. I was like Zooming a lot of people when we were all home. I still like Zoom some friends every Sunday. I see my girlfriend a lot. So seeing friends outside, it's just started to get warm enough to see people outside. So I like saw some friends recently over a bonfire, and that was nice. So yeah, I think it's been about, I guess, keeping connections and then also just trying to like, I guess, maintain my sense of well-being enough.
I'm at the penultimate question, and it might sound a little weird. So we know we're in this moment of a vast amount of biomedical and scientific research. I'm wondering what you think people in the humanities and the social sciences could be doing right now to help us understand this moment.
Well, this is so interesting. I'm trying to think about this because I'm like, I guess when you say that, I guess I think of like academics, but it's obviously like not all academics. I think it is just so important to look at how existing social problems became worse during COVID. And I think that's a job for like social sciences for sure, and probably also humanities. This moment has just obviously impacted everyone's life who lived through this. So I think there will be a lot of art and a lot of maybe reflection on this. And I think that's so important. And I mean, if we need to, like, if reflection helps us get through shit in our own lives, like, it hopefully will help us process this as well. What else is there? I just think there's a lot of work on, like, there were so many, I don't know, just so many ways that this pandemic kind of like opened up and let us see a lot of problems in society that maybe people weren't seeing as much before. So I think that's a lot of the work that humanities and social science could help us see and just like deal with, and maybe also like put out some solutions that we know we need because of what we just lived through.
And this is my last question. So this is an oral history interview, and as a historian, I carry some of the assumptions of my own time in history, by which I mean sort of the codes of how one writes history in my discipline. And one of those is that what my historical actors believe matters, deeply matters to me as well. So I'd like you to tell historians of the future what kinds of stories you want to be sure don't get forgotten about this moment.
I mean, yeah, I guess I would always say the stories of the people's stories that don't get told a lot in the media of our time. Like, and I mean that's so many people, I think. But I think there is a lot of people whose experience of COVID, whether it was like being homeless, being like incarcerated, being already disabled. I had like a disabled friend who was like, y'all are really understanding what it's like to live how I do every day, being inside, not able to do very much. Just like a lot of the perspectives of people who you're not seeing their stories other places. And stories, I guess, that are going against like narratives like Black people don't want the vaccine, or narratives like, I don't know, like everyone in rural communities believes COVID is fake. Just stuff that we know is true in our minds and from our experiences, but that the media hasn't been great at like giving us. So that's the type of stuff that I hope gets lifted up from these times.
I want to thank you so very much for everything that you shared with me and whoever ends up listening to this later today. And at this point, I'd just like to invite you, if there's anything that you want to say about COVID-19, 2020, 2021, more generally, here's the space for you to do so.
All I can say is I truly hope we like use the lessons that we have learned from living through this mess, and I hope we can all use them to make the next years so much better for everyone. That's really it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.